You heard us report back in July about that iceberg that broke off a floating ice shelf in Antarctica, one of the largest ever. It's the size of Delaware, weighs more than a trillion tons. And you might also know that as summer nears in Antarctica and light returns, scientists were just recently able to fly over and see iceberg A68. Nathan Kurtz is the project scientist with NASA's Operation Ice Bridge. He was on the plane. He joins us now by Skype from Ushuaia, Argentina, where the iceberg project is based and where Nathan and his NASA plane are now part of the search for that missing Argentine submarine. We'll get to that. But Nathan, the trip you just returned from, what was it like to see iceberg A68?
It was incredible to see the iceberg. I've never seen such a large iceberg in my life. We typically fly over many small icebergs, and this looked like an extension of the ice shelf. I would say, most importantly, what we're concerned about is the long-term stability of the Larsen C ice shelf, because the nearby Larsen A and Larsen B ice shelves have both broken up in the last two decades. And so there's this southward progression of catastrophic collapse of ice shelves. And so the fact that this big iceberg broke away from the Larsen C calls into question how stable is the Larsen C ice shelf, which is much larger than the Larsen A and Larsen B shelves.
Right. And of course, if that collapses, it raises sea levels.
Eventually, yes. So the calving of the iceberg itself doesn't raise sea level. And even if the ice shelf itself were to collapse, it wouldn't raise sea level immediately. But the glaciers that feed the ice shelf itself will flow out to sea much quicker, and that will raise the sea level.
Mm. And I'm reading that you were shocked not just by the size, but that because it looks like it's still part of the ice shelf, but it's not.
Yes, that's right. When we flew over the iceberg itself, we first transited over the Larsen C ice shelf, which is massive. It's very big, and we're up at about 1,500 feet in the plane. And so I was looking out over the ice shelf itself, and then we flew over a large stretch of water, and then we came to the edge of the iceberg. And as we flew over it, it just kept going. It was just so massive. And we had flown over the iceberg, well, the ice shelf itself last year. It was in the process of calving. We saw a rift forming, but it had not yet fully calved by that point.
Well, when you say large, I'm still trying to reach for comparisons. Its volume is twice that of Lake Erie. That's a lot of mass. And as you said, these ice shelves do crack and calve. As you said, they split. That's not uncommon. That's not even attributable to global warming. But in this case, from having seen it, do you think there's something else going on here, something more than the normal calving of an ice shelf?
It's hard to say whether the calving this time was attributable to warming. That's why we're taking the very detailed measurements that we take from Operation Icebridge. We take laser, radar, gravity measurements, all kinds of things to study what all processes could be contributing to that calving, whether it's warming from the surface. So the Antarctic Peninsula has been warming substantially in the last few decades. Whether that warming is contributing or whether it's ocean warming and ocean water that's melting it from below, which is causing this.
Yeah. So back to just how awesome this experience was. I mean, just very jealous. What else do you see there? Is it just nothing but white as far as the eye can see?
When we approach the Larsen C ice shelf itself, there's actually a lot of mountains, a lot of glaciers. It's very beautiful, very remote. So isolated, and it's just an amazing experience. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I don't even really know how to fully describe it. So on the approach, it's again very scenic. Then the ice shelf itself is just very flat and extends out pretty much as far as you can see. But again, we're still up high. We're at 1,500 feet, and it's hard to get a point of reference when there's not much features on the ground. So it's hard to really comprehend how big this place actually is.
Yeah. Well, you paint quite a picture, and we'll have the photographs at hereandnow.org. But in the meantime, you've been doing this Antarctica research based out of Argentina, which is probably one of the reasons why your plane has been enlisted in the search for this Argentine submarine with 44 crew members missing. What are you looking for?
We received a call on Friday to help with the search, given that we were close by the area and our plane is able to make long flights at low altitude. So we were looking for signs of the submarine, whether we could see it ourselves or use any of our instruments on board. The instruments that we have on board aren't meant to detect submarines directly. Mm-hmm. We do have instruments that could, if we were very close to the submarine. So we were hoping that if we flew over it with one of the instruments that we might get lucky and see something that would indicate that it was there. But otherwise, we were just doing visual search to see whatever we could do to help.
Yeah. Two important missions. Nathan Kurtz, project scientist with NASA's Operation IceBridge, speaking to us from Argentina. Nathan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.